Honestly, the Lord.
Being here, we just give God thanks for His goodness and His mercies towards us.
Yes.
Yesterday, you probably heard me talk about this funeral. Yesterday was the funeral for our friend, and we had a wonderful time together over there with all the relatives and friends who came to pay the last respect to him. And it's just a timely reminder that all of us will have to pass through that road at some time or the other. And we trust that each time that that happens, we will remember the words of the Apostle Paul: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Bless God that we are here this morning in this service where we can lift up the name of Jesus, give him glory and praise that is due to his holy name. Praise the Lord. We are still in the month of Father's Day. Last week was considered Father's Day. And what a wonderful service it is that we had in man.
Yes.
God's servant did justice to the Father's Day sentiment and also the word that he brought. My daddy, my father is the captain. That was the title of his presentation last week. And he emphasized the tremendous confidence that that young boy had in his father. And we are still in the month that is considered Father's Day. The sentiment is still high. And it is there that I'm going this morning again. Seeing that we get an extra bite. This month carries 5 Sundays. So we get an extra bite of that cherry. And we are going to look again on something pertaining to Father as we contemplate together the Word of God. Topic I'd like to use to us this morning is through thick and thin, you can count on your daddy. Through thick and thin, you can count on your daddy. And that's where we're going to concentrate a little bit today as we look on this passage that Sister Fiani read to us this morning. And there are a few points there that I'm going to look on, and most of them will come from verse 22. So I'm going to ask you to just take another look on verse 22, that is Mark chapter 9 and verse 22. I'm going to deal with all of it, but it's just a few thoughts will come from verse 22. And I read it again for us. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, No. Verse 22, I said. I'm so sorry. I was reading verse 20. Verse 22. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That is verse 22, Mark chapter 9. The first point I would like to look on today is the enemy intention is to destroy our children. The enemy intention is to destroy our children. The Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But it didn't stop there. The Lord didn't stop there in his assessment of the dragon. The Lord went on to say, but I am come that he might have life and that he might have it more abundantly. St. John chapter 10, verse 10. And so it is important for us to remember this. It is important for us to understand that behind the scene, where we are not able to see the with our visible eyes, the works of the dragon, he is making plans to destroy our family, and most importantly, to destroy our children in whatever way he sees fit. He's not just coming one way. There are many ways in which this devil is scheming behind the scene to destroy our children. And I'm glad that the person who made this clear to us is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. When you think about current affair, we learned last year that over 1,500 of our young people under the age of 18 were murdered last year. Over 1,500 of our young people were murdered in this country. We learned that last year, over 7,000 of our young people have committed suicide in this country. Last year, we learned also that last year, over 16,000 of our young people have died from drug overdose. The enemy come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Another church, we need to be mindful of this fact. We need to realize that the enemy is aggressive and wants to destroy our young people. And that's why the church is engaged in this type of prayer that we are putting on as far as the apostolic church is concerned. Prayer. A lot of emphasis we are placing on prayer. Every other Tuesday night, we are here praying. Last week, Tuesday night was a marvelous night in our prayer meetings. We have our sisters praying four nights per week, starting at 11 o'clock. And I changed one night, the Friday night, from 11 till 3 o'clock. The emphasis on prayer, because the need is great. The need is great in the church and in the community. The enemy is rampant trying to destroy our young people. Look at what the verse said, verse 22. Oft time, it has caught him in the fire and in the water. To do what? To destroy him. That's what the word said. To destroy him. And we just looking at this on the surface, you might not see anything. But listen to how Jesus describes the spirit that is driving this. In verse 26, no, let's look on verse 25. In verse 25, listen to, oh Jesus, describe the spirit that is in this young man that is trying to describe, destroy him. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked one. He called the spirit a foul spirit. That's the first thing Jesus said about the spirit that was in this young man. Jesus described the spirit as a foul spirit. Jesus went on to said, to say, a foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Not only that the spirit is a foul spirit, but it's a spirit that is deaf and dumb, a very aggressive spirit, a spirit with malice, a spirit with envy, a spirit operating in a destructive way, trying to destroy the life of this young man, as we have seen here. And oftentimes we heard the saying from these young people, I heard another voice in my head telling me to do things. Not too long ago, I was at work, and all of a sudden I heard this noise coming from the store. I was on the outskirts of the store, and I heard this noise coming from inside of the store. And by the time I looked to my left, there was this person burst through the door, charging towards me. And in trying to pass me with such a speed, he crushed on my shoulder. And right there, he lost one of his shoes. One of his shoes was lost. He kept on running with his shoe left right beside me. And the police was after him in his heel. And he was running so fast across the road and over into an open plaza. And the police was behind him with one shoe. And they summoned the police that were waiting on the roadway, on the highway. And the one out there saw him coming and blocked him and nailed him down on the sidewalk. When the whole thing was finished, one of the things that was said by him, he heard voices that caused him to do what he did in the store. Our young people, all that was left there, as far as I can see, is the shoe that was right beside me. The enemy trying to destroy our young people. The enemy come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I want to say to the church this morning that we have our job cut out for us. Because as much as we are praying so much, we still need to pray more. We still need to pray more. And then the second point I would like to make here is that the father of this young man we are talking about here from the scripture, he had to be there for his son. Look at what is said here in the in verse 22. And oft time mean often times. It happened to him frequently. Trying to put himself in water and trying to put himself in fire. It is said here that this is something that he does frequently. Listen to what verse 18 also says. And wheresoever that I was started. So we find out now that not only that, it happened frequently, but it happened everywhere, anywhere, at any time. So as a result of this, we find that the father has to be close by his son at all times. Because one could never tell when this episode is going to happen to him. When he is going to throw himself under the bus. When he's going to throw himself in water, when he's going to throw himself in fire, when he is going to put himself in utter danger, when this foul spirit attack him and tell him what to do. The father of this young man had to be there constantly for him. Because we read in this passage, Jesus asked the Father the question in verse 21. Jesus asked the Father, how long is it since this came unto him? That's the question Jesus asked the Father. How long since this young man is suffering the way he is? What was his reply? From he was a child. So what we're seeing here is that the father being so committed to his son, that all these times the father has to sacrifice time in order to protect his son from endangering himself and possibly others too. So what we find here is that the father sacrificed time. The father sacrificed energy. The father could be otherwise engaged. Maybe have a different job. Maybe had a second job. But because of his son, the father remains by his side. You can count on your daddy to be there. And this is the month where we are celebrating Father's Day. And I know that there are many fathers. There are many fathers who are standing up to the responsibility of their children. Many fathers who goes to work and have their children on his mind. Many fathers who goes on different errands and he has his children, a child on his mind and can't wait to get back home to see them. Many fathers are like that even as we speak right now. He was a child, he said to Jesus, all these years, this father was there for his son because the son was in this condition. The enemy was after him to destroy him. But the father was there. And in the mind of this young man, I can believe that He is saying, I can count on my daddy. I can count on my daddy to be there. Because it must have happened while the father was able to relate this to Jesus when he said, oftentimes the spirit would throw him in the fire. And the spirit would throw him in the way. It must be something that had happened before why he was able to relate this to Jesus. The purpose of the enemy is to destroy him. And we see something else in there. We see something else in this verse of scripture here. The father said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The father now is appealing to Jesus for help. You know, and notice, he is not only asking for help for his son, but he's asking for help for both of them. Both he and his son, he's appealing to Jesus for help. And that's why we say prayer meeting means so much. You know, sometimes these things come closer home. And I'd like to say to all of us here, whatever affects you as a child of God should affect me too. Whatever happened inside the home to one person happened to everybody else inside the home. Funny, we never hear the mother mention of here, but we hear the father constantly be mentioned. Have mercy upon us and help us. I want to tell you, sometimes these things come right home. I tell you something rather personal here as we look on this passage of scripture. Our first son, our big son, Warren, when the time came for him to go to college, he went to Tampa at college. And within a week, Warren called to say that he wants to come back home. He wants to come back home. When we asked the question, why do you want to come back home? He says he's very uncomfortable with his roommate. Because his roommate continues to watch pornography. And he's confused, he's angry, and he's not sleeping. And he, as much as he talked to his roommate, and he played his guitar to flush it out of his mind, he still feels uncomfortable living there. And he wants to come back home. So he encourages him to stay. And we ask the first opportunity he gets that he come down here, come back. Let us talk to him again and pray with him. And he came within another 2 weeks back home. And I took him to the church and two pastors and I joined up at New Divine. And we appeal to God. We beg God for help. We beg God for help. Help us, Lord. Help worry. We bow out to God. Three of us in that church on behalf of this young man who had gone to where he taught. And where we thought his life would be improved by him learning. Academic to advance his own son. But what did he find? The enemy was there waiting for him to destroy him. And he bawled out to his father. I bawled out to God, all three of us, on behalf of this young man. And God heard us, hallelujah. In that church, God heard us. And the liver worry that no matter what happened to his roommate, what they are thinking, what he is watching, what he is engaged in, it does not affect him. And that is what happened. Warren went back with a shield over him. And Warren was able to graduate college successfully. Warren was able to go back to college and get his master's. All because we bawled to God for help. And God heard us. Here is this man bawling out to God, not only for him to help his son, but to help both of them. We both need help, because I am by his side from his youth, from his childhood when this thing was happening to him. And whenever time this attack comes on him, I'm here to hold him in my arms. And this went on for years, according to what he was saying to Jesus. He's looking at a tired father. You're looking at a frustrated father. You're looking at a father that is begging for help. Not only for his child, but for himself. Let me say to all of us this morning, that Jesus is always there. But Jesus is looking down. Jesus will hear our cry. They brought the young man to the disciples, and the disciples could not cast out this aggressive spirit. Then Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration and questioned, what is it that is happening? The man quickly related to Jesus the problem that he had. The Lord Jesus looked on the young man with great compassion. Said to the father, if you believe, all things are possible. The father said, with tears in his eyes. And this is where it get down to it, saints. Hallelujah. The problem that we might have in our family, one person in the family having problem, it affects the whole family. One problem in the church family should affect the entire church family. Because we are a network. We are the body of Christ. And if one suffers, all suffers. We have a common enemy called us our dragon. Jesus called him a murderer. John 8:44. Jesus described him as a murderer. Comes to steal. Comes to kill. Comes to destroy. And anywhere you see this dragon, his intention remains the same. So I don't want nobody trying to cozy up with the dragon. Don't cause the up on the enemy. Keep the enemy at a distance. The Bible said, leave no space for the enemy. Because we are all of one common enemy. And that is the old dragon, Satan himself. But Jesus said, the time is coming when he is going to be no more around us. But in the meantime, when we have issues, what do? We call upon the name of the Lord. As a daddy, that young man could say to himself, Daddy is going to be there for me. Whenever time this attack comes on me, I can count on Daddy. He is going to be there for me. Daddy went to Jesus with his son and appealed to Jesus, have mercy upon us and help us. And one of the things that I have seen through this passage as I read it is that the feeling or the belief that this father had towards Jesus has changed from the start. At first, he saw Jesus as master. He saw Jesus only as a religious teacher. He saw Jesus as a rabbi. According to verse 21 tells us that verse 17, and one of the multitude answered, Master, that is the father, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which are the dumb spirit. He called Jesus Master. That is how we saw Jesus at first. And that feeling, that feeling towards Jesus, that thought in terms of how limited in his mind Jesus is, occupy his thought. And even when he was asking, was relating to Jesus down at the bottom, he still had that thought until Jesus made a statement to him, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Right here, something happened in the heart of this father. And it changes his thought towards Jesus. He changed his approach to the person of Jesus. As Jesus said that to him, and what we find happen here in verse 24. As Jesus said, if thou believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. He changes his approach to Jesus. And now verse 24 tells us where and how he sees Jesus. And I'm saying to all of us here, we need to see Jesus also in the same light as this man. Listen to what he said now in verse 24. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. That's an expression of his brokenness inside. and how humble he has become before, not master, as he called him in 17. But now he is saying here in verse 24, with tears in his eyes, he said, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. He was broken inside as a result of what Jesus had just said to him. And he now sees Jesus as Lord, as Richard, having the ability to do just about anything. He called Jesus Lord. I believe, help thou my unbelief. Before Jesus confessing his weakness. That is the final thought that I have for today on this. He called Jesus Lord. He called Jesus Lord. With his son standing there beside him. With a life of agony and pain. Desperately in need of help as he's seeking it now with tears. He's calling Jesus Lord. Psalms 34 tells us something here. Psalms 34 verse 6 said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. This poor man cried and called Jesus Lord. As a result of that, he was delivered from his fear. This father, with a pain in his heart, hallelujah. And with the experience that I believe his community had shown sympathy for, he was now standing before Jesus and calling Jesus Lord, seeking deliverance. Just like how myself and those two pastors stood up in New Divine and called Jesus Lord on behalf of my son. And Jesus put a shield around him, blocking him from the forces of the enemy to the extent that he went back to the same room with where he was sharing with another student. And he couldn't hear less what he was watching or saying. He was focusing on what he learned at home. Standing there before Jesus, calling Jesus Lord with tears in his eyes. A father standing with his son. You can count on me to be there for you, the father was saying to his son. Not only have compassion on my son, but have compassion on us. That was the request that he had for Jesus, with tears in his eyes. And you would understand that. I am sure you can identify with that. Many mothers are having this same problem that I am preaching about today with their son. Many fathers are having this same problem that I'm preaching about today with their son. But I'm saying to you today, there is a man called Jesus who is still Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what we need to do is bow out before him and show him that we love our son. We love our daughter. We're not going to turn our back on him or her. But we're appealing to you, Lord, that you will send help not only for him or her, but send help for us as mother or father. When Jesus, verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, because this has now become a scene. This has now become a scene. A scene for a number of reasons. They want to see what this man called Jesus would do. They want to see the father who have endured this for so many years. They want to see if it is possible that this young man might get an attack based on the fact that the father told the disciples, all of them, what happened when he come under this attack. A crowd surrounded the scene. And the enemy tried to show off. The enemy was trying to tell Jesus, I am still here. I am still here. Right there in the scene, in that scene, the enemy shows up to confront Jesus. This is what I am saying to us. We have an enemy that operates with malice, with hatred, with defiance, seeking to destroy what God has established. Right there in the midst, the enemy shows up. And what he shows up and what he did, Jesus speaks to that dragon, that deaf and dumb spirit that Jesus called the foul spirit that operates in the mind and life of this young man all these years. Jesus steered the spirit in its face. And Jesus said, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And when you believe that the enemy would walk away quietly and disappear from the scene after such an insult coming from Jesus, what did he do? Verse 26. What did he do? In verse 26. Challenge Jesus. And the spirit cried. Listen to that. The spirit make a loud noise on the scene. And rent him sore. The same attack that the young man experienced all his life. The spirit, the foul spirit, show up before Jesus and said, I am here. The spirit cried and rent him sore. But hear what? As much as the spirit give the last kick, the spirit has no choice than to obey the voice of the Lord. That's why I am emphasizing the word Lord here. Because the Father has changed from calling Jesus Master to now addressing Jesus as Lord. And the Lordship of Jesus is now on display. As much as the enemy trying to give his last charge, we are told here in this verse, verse 26, that he came out of him. The spirit, that foul spirit, that dumb spirit, that deaf spirit, that haunted this young man for years, finally had to obey the voice of the Lord and come out of him. This is marvelous before us, church. This is marvelous before us. Jesus, the word tells us, is given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the honor and glory of God the Father. So to his Lordship, Jesus Christ is Lord. This young man was not released because of the faith of his father, but he was released because of the Lordship of our Savior Jesus. And if there is nothing happening here, it is the fact that we have something that we can identify as that gives confidence to our belief. Our belief in Jesus is assured as of this morning that Jesus is Lord and he's on top of every situation regardless of what it is. For years, a sickness that has become chronic, Jesus was able to solve it because the man came with tears in his eyes and rightly identify Jesus as Lord. I am so proud of the name Jesus. I am so proud of the name Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when I was in that funeral service yesterday, and I saw all the things that, it comes to my mind, all the things that this brother has achieved in his life, because he has acquired quite a bit in his life, even since he came to America. But as he lay there in that casket, none of that matters. One thing matters at that moment yesterday is whether or not he had accepted Jesus as Lord in his life. That's all that matters. The preacher went out and the preacher preached and talked about his experience prior to him getting saved. How the enemy have him twisting and turning and obeying his every move until that night when he went inside the church and gave his heart to Jesus. Then everything else that he did before, even up until that night, becomes null and void. A new life has started in that church that night with him and Jesus, and he declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he turned around and gave his testimony to the people in that service. Life is too short, my brother. Life is too short, my sister. For us to be playing around, let's look to Jesus and not only call him Master, but call him Lord. To change our lives, to address the different problems that we have, so that there can be peace in our hearts. There can be deliverance in our family. And we will worship him as we continue to serve him. I bless God for what I've read here, because reading this brings me back to my own experience with my son. Jesus is Lord. Jesus can change the picture. Jesus can give you back your son. Jesus can give you back your daughter. Jesus can give you back your marriage. Jesus can give you back your job. Jesus can give you and I back what we have lost. Think about Job for a minute. Job lost everything. The enemy robbed him of everything. Challenged his life as well. The man stretched out his hand. Maggot was dripping from the man's hand as his flesh decayed while he was still alive. But God, timing was coming. And the word tells us, as we continue to read Job, that God restored not only Job's health, that his skin tone, becomes so smooth and soft that it was admired by those around him as God returned his health to him. God gave him back his position, his cattle. God gave him back his fame. God gave him back his children. Read Job 42 and you will see. God restored Job to be a more prosperous person in the end than what he was prior to his illness. Why? The enemy seek to destroy him and what he had. But God has the overruling power. And ultimately, God restore all that he had. God can restore what you have lost. We need to remember, as a church, as an individual, as a servant, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. Call upon him. Bawl out for help. And don't be afraid to engage others in your bawling out. Oftentimes I would find myself in prayer calling so many different names. So many different names, even though I might not know anything that might be happening, but a name just pop up in my spirit in prayer. and I've shoved it out before God. And in your prayer, I trust that you're doing the same thing for me, your pastor. Because we all have challenge before God. I said to the brethren sometime in the past, that remember, there are many Daniel Henry. There are many Daniel Henry in this world. And we know that God cannot be confused with me from somebody else. But just in case anything happens, please stop him, Daniel Sylvester Henry. Sylvester is my middle name. Tuck that in there to make sure that heaven don't get me mixed up with nobody. Hallelujah. As you pray for me. Bless the Lord. We pray for one another. The man said, not only help my son, but help us. Not only help the sister in the church, but help all of us. Not only help the brother in the church, but help all of us. We need your help, Lord. We need your help. And Jesus took the young man by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That is verse 27. He arose from the ground that the enemy has crushed him into as a result of the sickness. But Jesus lifted him up and presented him to his father. Sober, clean, healed, delivered. Because the man called Jesus Lord. And he too was delivered. I imagine the crowd have their hands covered their mouth in astonishment because they thought that the young man had died. They thought, read that verse 26 again, they thought that the young man had died. The last blow of the enemy, they thought it had taken out the young man. But Jesus lift him up and present him to his father, completely healed and delivered.
Praise God.
I'm wondering if somebody is listening to this message today. And you thought that all hope is gone. You have tried this. You have tried that. You receive advice from this person. And most of these advice are genuine. Somebody trying to help. Somebody trying to see what they can do in order to help both you and your son, both you and your daughter, both you and your family. Somebody with the best intention trying to help. And yet the problem remains. Somebody have you on their prayer list. Today we are appealing to the man called Jesus for help. And we are calling him Lord. And for you, I'm going to breathe a word of prayer. Prayer of deliverance. That he who stood in that crowd on that day and defeats principalities and powers to bring about deliverance, we're appealing to him now that he will do it again. Shall we pray? Father, there is something that is beyond us that we are not able to grasp. We are not able to see with our physical eyes the mechanics of the work of the enemy. Oftentimes what we see is the result. But you know the scheming of the dragon. You know the planning of the dragon that he had planned for your children, that he had planned for our children. And Lord, we believe that the fact that nothing has escaped your sight and your notice today in this church, right now, there could be somebody who is identifying with this passage of scripture. And when it seems as though there is no help, we are convinced to the Lord that you are still available. And Lord, in that church, as your servant representing this church before you, the individuals, the different folks who might be experiencing this level of problem like this, Father. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're appealing to that Lordship now, that you will touch that situation. We don't know exactly what it is, but you know. Touch that situation. There is a representative of that situation in this company right now. Touch that situation and turn it around. Rebuke that sickness, Lord, and let that foul spirit disappear in the name of Jesus. The enemy is seeking to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But you remind us that you have come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Bring life now, Lord, into that situation which had darkness before. Bring deliverance. Bring tranquility. We pray so that life will start to rejoice again. Life will start to relate properly again as we give you the praise and as we give you the honor that is due to your name. We pray for complete deliverance right now in the life of our sister, in the life of our brother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the blessed Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen.